Good morning. Can you all hear me in the microphone okay? All right. Well, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share a little bit about what God has been doing in Clarkston, Georgia, among the refugee population that is there. I've had the privilege and honor of serving this group of individuals for the past 2.5 years, and I just wanted to share with my family at Heritage Bible Church about what has been happening. I want to start by sharing a story of a young family that lived in Israel long ago. This family had recently had a young baby, and while they were living in Israel, there was an evil king ruling over Israel, and this king made a decree that all boys under the age of 2 were to be killed. Well, the father of this family was told in a dream that this was going to happen. And so he took his family and they fled to the nearby country of Egypt, where they lived for a couple of years until he was told in another dream that the evil king had died and they could return to Israel. Of course, you probably recognize this story. This is the story of Mary and Joseph and their flight to Egypt after Jesus was born. And the wicked King Herod had felt threatened by the rumor that there was a king that had been born. And so he issued a decree to kill off all the baby boys. Well, this is a story of a refugee family. And this is a story that's from the Bible, Matthew chapter 2. But I want to share a little bit about some refugee families that I have been involved with in Clarkston, Georgia. So this morning I want to leave you with the what. What is a refugee? I want to leave you with the why the church is called and has the privilege of being involved in what's going on with refugees around the world. And finally, I want to share with you about the how Envision Atlanta has been involved in ministering to refugees, how I myself have been involved in ministering to refugees, and how you can be involved in the work going on with refugees. I do want to preface this. I'm going to ask Becca to cut off the live stream, just for those of you who may be watching on the live stream at the end of the presentation. There's some more sensitive material that I want to cover at the end, and so that will be cut off at the end, but have the opportunity to share via live stream at the beginning. So first of all, what? What is a refugee? Well, a refugee is a person. Let's see if I can get the clicker going. No. Here we go. Okay, so I'll be showing the what, the why, and the how of ministry in Clarkston. So God is in the business of redeeming what is broken. Statistics, a refugee is a displaced person forced to leave their homeland due to fear of war, persecution, or violence. So these are not individuals leaving because of natural disasters. They're not individuals leaving and seeking a better job in a different country. No, there's threat on their life or on their safety. In 2019, there were approximately 26 million refugees in the world. This is over 1% of the world's population. About 82.4 million people have been forcefully displaced. I believe that was 2019 to 2020. So those are people who have either had to leave their country or are just in another place in their country. They may or may not have been granted refugee status at that point. And about 48 million were displaced in around 2020 within their home country themselves. So that's a little bit about what is a refugee. So why does the church need to be involved? Well, I have two reasons that I'd like to give to you about why the church needs to be involved in what's going on with the refugees around the world. First of all, God cares for the foreigner. There are over 100 references to a alien, sojourner, foreigner, stranger given in Scripture. And in the book of Deuteronomy alone, we see commands to love the foreigner, to invite foreigners to holidays and feasts, take care of the physical needs of foreigners, And the Israelites were given. Why? Why do they need to care for the foreigners? Because they themselves were foreigners in Egypt. They themselves were refugees, and they fled. And they were foreigners. So the first reason the church needs to be involved is because God cares about the foreigner. The second reason is that God desires peoples from all nations to worship him. God is in the business. He is drawing people to himself from all nations. We see in the book of Daniel that there's a prophecy that God will be worshipped by every tribe, tongue, and nation. And in Revelation, we're again reminded that Jesus purchased with his blood people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And one day, people from every nation and tribe and tongue and people will be standing next to us, worshiping our Creator. So the first reason the church can be involved in the refugees is because God cares about the foreigner, and the second reason is that God is calling more worshipers to himself from every people group. Well, God is in the business of redeeming what is broken. There is a lot of brokenness in our world, and it just so happens that these people that have been forced to leave their country, I believe God is moving them so that they can hear the gospel. Many of these people are from unreached people groups. I love joshuaproject.com. If you ever get a chance to kind of explore what they have to say, it's an excellent resource. But they give a statistic that there are over 7,000 unreached people groups in the world today. So these are people with 2% or less evangelicals. So that means that there's, out of 100 people, there's 2 people who really know Jesus. So that's a pretty slim chance that you're going to actually hear the gospel and be discipled by someone among those culturally similar groups. A frontier group are those with even less evangelical Christians, 0.1% Christians in their group. And I don't know if I can get, I've got a little graph here. So the dark blue are frontier people groups. So this is kind of a pie graph of the different people groups, like a large cluster of people groups. So many of the unreached people groups, so culturally similar, language similar, are in, the frontier groups are in India and Muslim majority countries. So that's kind of where the work, the task, really, of gathering more worshipers for Jesus has been, has not taken place we have not gathered worshipers from Jesus, for Jesus in among those nations. And it just so happens a lot of, there's a fair number of refugees that come from those unreached and frontier people groups. So I work in a refugee resettlement area called Clarkson, Georgia. Clarkson, Georgia is a small town, just over 1 square mile. It's outside of Atlanta, Georgia, and it's home to about 13,000 residents. And there happens to be approximately 90 unreached people groups represented, many of them from refugee backgrounds who have had to flee their home country. So some of these unreached people groups come from places like Somalia, Yemen, and Afghanistan. So there's a great opportunity among these peoples for the gospel to spread. So that's a little bit about the what of refugees, the why the church needs to be involved, and I want to go into how Envision Atlanta has been involved in meeting the needs of refugees in Clarkston, how I have been involved, and how you can be involved as well. So Envision Atlanta is a ministry of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. It's one of the, Envision is one of the 4 branches of Alliance Missions, and Envision Atlanta is one of the dozens of Envision sites around the world. And Envision Atlanta was established in 2017. It's a picture of my team that I work with. So we are a big bunch of people that have gathered together to work with these peoples in Clarkston. So Envision Atlanta was established in 2017 with three core values. Got a picture of us working on ukulele last summer. The first core value is that we would be relationship focused, so focusing on relationships over programs. And I've been blessed to come to Clarkston and just be people's friend. I have a woman who lives close by to me, and she comes from a Muslim majority country, and she is a friend of mine. Thank you. She is just a friend of mine. She has helped cook for our teams, but we are able to go. I tutor her son once a week and am able to sit with them then. And then my roommate, Amanda, and I go and we sit with her and drink coffee and eat nuts and sit and talk about her English studies, and we sit and talk about her life and her family still in their home country, and we talk about her kids' school and all kinds of things. And a few years ago, I had the privilege of praying with her in Jesus' name and had the opportunity to just meet her where she was at and minister to her in her story that involved a lot of pain. So our first core value is that we would be relationship focused. Our second core value is incarnational living. So that's a ministry that's focused on meeting the refugees where they're at. So it's not taking them to a building, taking them into this facility, this program. No, it's going into where they're living. It's going into where they are at, hearing their story, and meeting them where they're at. And some of us have had the privilege of living among them in the apartment complexes that are there. There's about 38 apartment complexes in Clarkston, and I live in one of those among, it's about 50-50 American, 50-50 refugee in my complex. But being able to live alongside of them has been a joy and a blessing. And then the third core value is that we would focus on intentional development principles. So that's taking the refugee where they're at and developing them into successful citizens of the United States, developing them into, Lord willing, into disciples of Jesus who are following Jesus holistically in all areas of their life. And it's also building up themselves as with dignity as a person. I have one friend from a Muslim majority country who was a nurse in her home country, but she can't practice nursing in the United States because of different credentials and her English capability. I have another friend from the same country who was a teacher, and there's no way she could teach second grade in America at her English ability. So they've lost a lot of who they were as people in their home country, but they're still people, and they still are people created in the image of God who are intelligent and deserve to be treated and as people created in God's image. So our vision, this is kind of an hourglass figure. I've got a bunch of different ministries listed at the top there. And that kind of funnels into that building relationships, sharing the gospel, discipling an individual, and then they go forth and carry out the mission. So we've got ministries like ESL, helping establish jobs for our refugees, kids clubs, so inviting the kids and ministering to the kids. Rent relief, we've done that in the past. Camel's Milk is a vision in the future. It's not currently taking place. Trauma help, meeting the needs there. Youth group, it takes place on Friday nights after school. It's definitely happening. Nomadic thrift, I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. Mobile thrift store. adult education, that the ESL would be included in that. Food distribution has been going on. Milk, goat milk products is kind of a vision for the future with the farm. Community gardens is also kind of a vision for the future. The farm is involved in that. And development services within Envision Atlanta. So that all kind of funnels into, okay, these are ministries where we can gather people, develop relationships with them, meet them where they're at, their needs, disciple them, and then they, Lord willing, will be carrying out the mission and meeting their people group. My friend from a Muslim majority country, maybe she won't, maybe her son will know Jesus, and he can carry out the mission and share the love of Jesus amongst his own people group. So just to touch a little bit on a couple of the ministries, the Nomadic Thrift Store. You can learn more about it at nomadicthrift.org. But it's a mobile thrift store that goes around to the different apartment complexes, a few of the different apartment complexes. And Amanda Peters works with that, and her desire is that she would be building up the dignity of refugees, both by offering discounted clothing, so they don't get free clothing, they get discounted clothing that they purchase, and they're able to be clothed and clothe their families. But she also was able to hire a refugee to work alongside of her, so giving her job training in America, and that was super exciting for her to be able to work alongside of this woman and develop her. We had the Nomadic Thrift Store has been coming to our apartment complex, and I've enjoyed just being able to walk out to the store when it comes and be able to meet some of the moms that of the kids that I work with. And one lady leaned over to me one day and she said, "Do you love Jesus?" Me too. So we were able to connect with that. But that was at our thrift store. So it's been a great community center and a great place to establish and develop the dignity of the refugees. Another ministry, the farm ministry, began. We finally purchased a farm about a year ago. It's about 30 minutes outside of Clarkston, is south of Atlanta. And we were able to take some groups of kids there a couple of times. You see Emmanuel in the center. He's got his hands on the goats. And he's from the Congo, but he mostly remembers life in Tanzania and a refugee camp. But he remembers the goats in Africa. And so he got to be with goats that day. And so that was a lot of fun to watch the kids kind of be in their environment, kind of their comfort zone there. A youth group also happens on Friday night. I work a lot with the younger kids, don't work with the youth group, but it's great to have a place that they can go when they get older and continue to be discipled and just have a home base there. That happens on Friday night on our property. Some of you remember that purchase of our property a couple of years ago. Food distribution began kind of when COVID came pretty big in the United States and saw needs of people who were hungry and needed to feed them. And that's still going on to not quite of much of a extensive extent, but is still happening as well. So that's just kind of a snapshot of some of the ministries of Envision Atlanta and how Envision Atlanta has been involved. I want to switch kind of to how I personally have been involved in working with refugees and how that has looked in the context of Envision Atlanta. I've worn a couple of different hats. One of the hats I've worn is working with the short-term teams that come through. So Envision as a whole was established to create an opportunity where short-term workers could come alongside long-term workers in an environment to where it wasn't disrupting the flow of ministry. And so that looks like short-term teams coming in and working alongside the long-term workers. That might be from a weekend to a week. It also involves interns. It also involves volunteers. So we have a lot of short-term workers coming alongside of us. So I've worked with quite a bit with the teams that have come through. We had over 20 teams in 2021, and they were help in different projects going on our facilities, also helped quite a bit with our vacation Bible schools in the summer. We had about 5 vacation Bible schools that they helped with, and they are absolutely helpful for working with large groups of children. So this is the team that I've worked with the teams. Our team has worked with the short-term teams that have come through. And I had the privilege of working specifically with families. We have the opportunity for families to come as a family, and it's great because the whole family experiences life in Clarkston. The whole family gets a vision for refugees together. And I had the privilege of kind of planning those and working with those families, and it was a joy to build relationships with them. They're eating my Syrian neighbor's food there. So another hat I have worn is a apartment coordinator or co-apartment coordinator. I work a lot with my roommate, Amanda Goslin. And she's great. If I talk to you about an idea we have, it probably was her, and I just help execute it. She has all the good ideas. But I've worked with her and in our apartment complex at building relationships with families, but also incorporating other Envision ministries into the relationships that we have already there and helping to expand the ministry in my apartment complex, Springdale Glen. One of the this is our Christmas party. We've got a bunch of boys enjoying some pizza and vacation Bible school at our complex last summer. So we've been involved quite a bit with after-school ministry with the children in my complex, my apartment complex. And the Lord has really just put this together. So there's a variety of, I've got pictures here of some different complexes. There's after school at Park 1000 is one of the apartment complexes where we have after school. We have one at English Oaks is another apartment complex in Clarkston where we have after school. And then at our own complex, Springdale Glen. But I wanted to share a little bit about what that's looked like with my friends. In my complex. The Lord really put this together. We had refugees. This was pre-COVID. This was early on in my time here. We would be in their home or meet somebody, and they're like, oh, can you tutor my kid? I don't know. I don't know English. I can't even read my kid's math problem. Let alone science or English. And so they would just ask, and so we would come at a time, you know, maybe once a week, twice a week, and come and help them with their homework. And COVID hit, and they were online, and it was like, whoa, they don't even have the teacher helping them and trying to help them navigate virtual learning. And it continued to kind of expand, and we were able to kind of piece things together. And now we have about 31 students that we're servicing on a weekly basis. And that's not just Amanda and myself, that includes 6 volunteers, like some of the volunteers you see in the picture here, 3 Envision Atlanta staff, there's 1 intern helping us, and there's also Amanda and myself, of course, investing in these families, about 13 families. So we go to different homes. Hannah's working with a young girl on math there. And she goes to that home and works with a few children at their outside of their apartment. And we have different volunteers going in. Beverly here on the far, right here. She has been working with a family from a Muslim majority country and also a Congolese family. And has been working with them, and so she knows where they're at academically, she knows where they are at behaviorally, and she's able to really meet those needs there. And so volunteers are going into the homes, 13 homes, but we also have them coming into our home. They are invited into our home 2 days a week, and that is we have an art or a music lesson, and we have a snack, and we have homework help as well. The Lord's really put that ministry together. We're also just involved with the kids in general. We have them into our home. We got a birthday cake going on with some kids, and also take them to places like the farm, to Stone Mountain, to get them out of the complex. They don't have a lot of opportunities to do that, so it's been a joy to kind of explore outside of Clarkston with them. Another one of our ministries has been the Kids House Church, and this meets on Sunday afternoons, and it's a discipleship group specifically geared towards a small group of kids. We have between 3 and 10 attend. Have a young lady here who Amanda was tutoring. Amanda was at their house tutoring a few weeks ago, and she came up to Amanda and she said, she started asking questions about the Bible and about God's gift, and Amanda started sharing about God's gift of salvation and Jesus, and she asked, "Is that for me too?" And Amanda said, "Yeah." So she prayed to receive Jesus, and she's been coming to our kids' church on Sunday afternoons along with two siblings. And so they're going through right now a chronological study of the Bible. If you're familiar with the Jesus Storybook Bible, that's what we've been going through. We're at Exodus, and they have been learning about how God's word points to the story of Jesus. And we also memorize scripture, and if they memorize scripture and attend, they get a Bible. So Gloria received her Bible. Had a few recently finally get their Bible. So pray that these young ladies would not just have it on the shelf, but that they would read it and treasure God's word in their lives. And most of those families there you see are from the Congo or another African country. Another ministry that has been going on with me and Amanda in our complex has been working with refugee moms. This is one of the young ladies who received her Bible. This is her mom, and she will often call and say, "I need a ride to the bank." So we take Mama Bandera to the bank, and but we also are involved in helping them go to doctor's appointments. You know, if they're expecting, going to the doctor, and advocating for them. They'll say, "You need to come to translate," and I say, "I think in my head, I don't speak Arabic. I can't translate for you." But I go to the office and I tell the leasing office about their rent problem, and somehow the Lord translates, I don't know, and everyone understands. And they walk away and somehow are not in this situation anymore. But the Lord directs, but it's been a joy to be involved with refugee moms and meeting their needs, advocating for them with life in America. But also just being able to sit with them. I got some Syrian food up there. I'm able to sit with some Syrian friends every Thursday and just sit with them and drink coffee and all and enjoy life alongside of them. So just ministering to those families and specifically to the women in our complex. So that's a little bit about how I have been involved in working with refugees in the past, and I want to talk a little bit about how you can be involved in refugees and what's going on in our world and in Clarkston. The first way is to learn more about refugees, and I encourage you, there's a plethora of information online about refugees and what's been going on. Of course, you've been seeing a lot in the news lately. That's not all that there is about refugees, what you see in the news, but there's a lot more. I have on the back table a couple of things, including a list of some links of some videos. I know hard copies aren't really great for links, but hopefully it'll help you find what you need. But a couple of videos for those over 12 and several videos for those under 12 in learning more about refugees and what it's like to be a refugee and what God's Word says about refugees and things like that. So I encourage you to take that to learn more about refugees if you would like to go that way. I also have a few books on the table just for you to look at and talk a little bit about refugees. A second way is to give, and I have appreciated this church so much in their support of me and what's going on in Clarkston. One of the projects that is on my heart is to work with those in minority groups. So this is supporting those people that are there from other countries, and not white Americans, but people from these other countries who can really work with those in their own people group, and so supporting them in working with their ministry. One of those has been a young lady named November. She's from an Asian country, and she has been working alongside of us and is supported through this fund, and she's been interning and working with our after school. Has been a great help. She graduated from Clarkston High School and knows what they've been through, what the kids have been through. She knows how to do the math that they're doing and things like that. And so that's one ministry that you can give towards. I'm going to talk a little bit more later about another avenue of giving, but I've appreciated the giving that has happened from this church so much and what's been going on with that. Another way that you can be involved is to pray. And this is probably the most important, definitely the most important way that you can be involved. And we need your prayers so much, and I need your prayer so much. I am dependent upon the Lord in so many ways. And so I ask for your prayer, and I've appreciated your prayer in the past. So I want to give you four ways that you can pray specifically for me and what I am doing with Clarkston. Pray, first of all, for my new role within Vision. I'm kind of taking off the hat that works with with teams and putting on full-time the after-school hat and helping build up not just the ministry in my apartment complex, but building up the ministry in other apartment complexes as well. And working with Park 1000 English Oaks that are the other two after-school programs going on and helping to develop those and support those and building relationships with the schools and things like that. So you can pray for my new role with Envision. Second, pray for deeper relationships with the families in Springdale Glen, where I live. Pray for more times of just sitting and hearing their pain, their story that always involves pain, and hearing where that's at and how Jesus can fit into their story. So be praying for deeper relationships with the families in Springdale Glen. Third, pray for my relationships with my teammates. Pray that we would work together in a spirit of love, and that I would be one who loves my teammates well, and that the Lord would direct my relationships with my teammates. And fourth, I ask you to pray for my own relationship with the Lord. I was sharing at Venture Out that there's days that are hard. There's days that it's just me and God, and I just am dependent upon Him. But that's a good place to be in. And I'm keep being reminded of this verse from Psalm 127 that says, unless the Lord builds a house, they who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And so that place of my dependency upon the Lord is a good place to be in, because it means that I can allow the Lord to build my life and my ministry. So pray for my relationship with the Lord and deepening of my relationship with the Lord, and that my ministry, my relationships with my teammates, my relationships with the families in my complex, my new role with after school would flow out of my relationship with the Lord. So I thank you. I thank you for being involved in the lives of individuals from around the world, in the lives of these people groups, some of which have little access to the gospel in their home country. And I thank you for what you have done to be a part of that. And it's a joy to be here and to be with my family that I grew up with. And I just thank you not only for your gifts and your support and your prayer, but also your heart for missions and your heart for people groups, and how your heart for people groups has been deeply ingrained in me, and that you have helped develop me to love people and to love people from around the world. And I do want to thank my parents as well for their heart for people. And I want to thank you specifically for having missionaries into our home. And I got to hear real life stories of people and the hard things of missions and the hard things of people from around the world as we had these families in our homes. So I thank Mom and Dad for that, and their heart for the Lord, and their heart for peoples around the world, and y'all's heart for peoples around the world, and how that has helped transform me as well. And I thank you for your support. I'm gonna transition a little bit to talk about some things that are a little bit more sensitive, and I just didn't want live streamed. So when I get a thumbs up from Becca, I'll keep going.